Our text is found in 1 Peter 2, the first two verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I preached on this text some years ago, beloved. But this evening, I'd like to preach on this, especially from a very practical viewpoint, as the text is practical. The viewpoint, namely, of our growth into salvation as a church of Jesus Christ, and from the viewpoint of the way in which that growth of in our salvation can possibly be attained. I'd like to start out with a few questions. Do you think that you can say that you are growing in salvation? That does not appear in this translation, but that is nevertheless in the original and essential part of the text. In the original you read, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby unto salvation. Do you think that you are growing in salvation? Can you say that? That means, do you grow in faith? Do you grow in hope? Do you grow in love? Do you grow in the assurance of the forgiveness of sins? Do you grow in the knowledge of the love of God to you and the knowledge of you to the love of God? Do you grow in sanctification and so on and so forth? Can you say that? Important question, all through Scripture. If you do say that, beloved, if that is possible, then you must understand that there is only one way of growing into salvation. And that way is in growing in the knowledge and grace of Christ, and therefore in growing in the knowledge of the Word, in the spiritual knowledge of the Word. Another way, there is not. That's the only way. That stands to reason, for my text is immediately connected with the 23rd verse of the first chapter. That 23rd verse of chapter 1 speaks of a regeneration out of uncorruptible seed and through the abiding and ever-living Word of God. So that it stands to reason, I say, that if you are to grow in to salvation, and that growth must take place through that same word by which and through which you are regenerated. That's the connection. And beloved, one more question. If we are to grow in that word, and through that word into salvation, it is indispensable that you are hungry for that word, that you desire that word, that you long for that word of God. Do you? Even as you came here this evening hour, and as one of your main purposes undoubtedly is to hear the word of God, can you say that you have an appetite? Do you have an appetite? And that's essential. You know, if children have no appetite, they do not eat. And if you have no appetite for the word, no desire for the word of God, you will not eat, even though you sit in church. And therefore my question is, can you say that as you sit here in church, you really have an appetite? Are you eager to receive the word of God? Are you? If not, you must ask the question, what is the matter? What's the trouble? That's a serious and very practical question. If you sit here tonight and have no appetite, do not receive the word, you must ask yourself, what is wrong with me? Oh, there may be something wrong with the preaching, that's true. But I think that is not very likely the case. The word of God is preached. And therefore, if you do not receive the word, you must ask yourself the question, what is the matter with me? And that I like to answer, beloved, in this sermon tonight. I like to answer that question in this sermon. That is, I like to answer that same question concerning growth into salvation, which is so very necessary for any church. I like to answer that question as to how we grow, and I like to answer that question whether you have an appetite and what is wrong if we do not, on the basis of this text. And therefore I speak to you a moment on desire for the word. Let's first of all ask what that means, that admonition. Carson, it's an admonition. It's not just a statement in my text, not just a statement, it's an exhortation. You must put forth effort to desire the word of God. That's my text. How are we going to do it? How is it possible? And therefore the question is, first of all, What does it mean that we desire the word? The second place, I like to call your attention to the only indispensable way I would almost say, beloved, the condition. Don't be shocked. I would almost say the indispensable condition. Don't be shocked. I don't believe in scriptural conditions, but I can use the word just the same. But we don't have to. And I like better to speak of the only indispensable way, the way of faith, the way of laying aside all enmity and so forth and so forth. That's the way. Understand? And finally, I'd like to call your attention to the end of purpose of this spiritual appetite, desire for the word. What does it mean? What is the way? And what's the end of that desire? The text speaks, beloved, of newborn babes. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. That is the text. That's the admonition. And when the text speaks of newborn babes, it does not want to emphasize that the Christian is a new man, but rather it emphasizes, wants to emphasize the fact that we are small. Small children, as evident from the whole text. Of course, we can also say that we are new in the sense that we have a different life. A different life. And that life of the Christian is characterized by two things. That is, the regenerated life, the principle of the regenerated life is characterized by two things. It's characterized in the first place by the fact that it is delivered principally from all corruption and defilement and sin and pollution. And it is holy. It is holy. And in the second place, it is characterized by the fact that it is not of this world. It is heavenly. The life, the regenerated life of the Christian is from above, not from below. That's why that life of the Christian, which is in principle the life of Christ, the life of the risen Lord, tends to seek the things which are above. But that is not so much the question in the words of my text. It is not so much the question of the newness of the life of the Christian, but it's the question of the smallness. That the life of the Christian is a life only in beginning. It's only the beginning, the principle of a new life. That is emphasized by the expression newborn babes, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. The emphasis is on the fact, beloved, that we must grow. We must grow. We are still small. There's only a beginning. The Christian has only the beginning in the sense of a principle of the new life. That we must understand, beloved, otherwise we cannot even begin to understand the text, read it. And when a Christian is regenerated, what happens? What really happens? Can we say that our nature is regenerated? No. Our nature is not regenerated. Can we say that our body is regenerated? No. Our body is not regenerated. Can we say, perhaps, that our soul is regenerated? No. Our soul is not regenerated either. We have an earthly body, and we have an earthly soul. Our body to this present world. We must never say that our soul is regenerated or that our body is regenerated. No. What is regenerated, according to Scripture, is the heart. The heart. The heart is regenerated. The very center of our personal life is regenerated. That new principle of that life in Christ Jesus touches the heart. We must understand that because sometimes we speak of our own sinful heart, isn't it? We must never say that, beloved. We must say that. We must use scriptural language. The Christian does not have two hearts. A holy heart and a sinful heart. He has only one heart. And that one heart is regenerated. The Christian is not two men, an old man and a new man on equal grounds, on an equal basis. Oh, no. The Christian is principally only a new man. Only new, principally. His heart is regenerated. With his heart, he loves the Lord his God with his whole being. His heart. That's the Christian. And therefore, we must never present the matter as if the Christian were a sort of a free will man. Something like Adam in paradise before the state of sin entered in. That's not the case. All things have become new with the Christian. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. It is not so that the Christian loves God and loves the devil. That he loves Christ and loves Belial. It's not so that he can equally sin and not sin. That's not true, beloved. Even when the Christian sins, he sins altogether differently from man, the natural man of the world. He sins differently. Sins differently. Don't you understand that, beloved? All things have passed away. All things have become new. In the Christian, really, principle. So that even when he sins, he says, I hate sin. Natural man never does that. Natural man loves sin. The Christian never says, I love sin. Yes. It does sin. Oh, yeah. But just read Romans 7, beloved. Just read Romans 7. The apostle says, what I hate, that I do. But he hates it. Understand that clearly. But that Christian with that new heart, and that's the only heart he's got, not two hearts, that Christian with that new heart, in principle renewed, has that old nature, that old nature, that nature, that old earthly nature in his soul, that old earthly nature in his body, and that old earthly nature is carnal. There are all kinds of sin and motions of sin in his soul, in his body. And it is the calling of that regenerated man, of that regenerated heart, beloved, to overcome, to manifest that new life in his old soaring body. That's his calling. And that stays that way until we die. As the Honorable Catechism has it, beloved, we have but a small beginning of the new obedience, but a small beginning. Nay, the very holiest has but a small beginning of the new obedience. The very holiest. That means, of course, that the least holy has a small beginning, that the more holy has a small beginning, and that the holiest has a small beginning, that everyone has but a small beginning. I have no more principle in my heart, in my regenerated heart, than you have. We're all the same. And therefore, growth, increase into salvation means, beloved, that regenerates heart dominates more and more, reigns, rules over the old nature, and more has the victory. That's growth into salvation. But in order so to grow, they have to be fed. That they have nourishment. That's what the apostle means when he speaks of the sincere milk of the word. By that sincere milk, he does not mean to make a distinction between another distinct. Between solid food and lighter food. That's sometimes the case. The Apostle Paul speaks of milk, and the Epistle to the Hebrews, I think, also speaks of milk, and does so in distinction from solid food. And, of course, that is true for some Christians. Some Christians are so weak that they cannot stand solid food. But that is not true of the church as a whole. That's not the case. But certainly that is not the case here. That is not the meaning here. By the sincere milk of the word, and the apostle simply means, beloved, a spiritual food. In the original, you really read not the milk of the word, but really you read reasonable, rational milk. The meaning is undoubtedly the milk of the word. But nevertheless, the apostle emphasizes that we must have reasonable, rational food, spiritual food, but rational food. The milk of the word, beloved, is of course the nourishment that comes to us through the preaching of the gospel. And whatever is connected with that preaching of the gospel, the milk of the word, in other words, is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ in all his fullness, as it is preserved to us in the scriptures. That is the milk of the word, that reasonable milk, not because it is natural, it is spiritual, but it is reasonable because it is adapted to our reason, to our mind. We can understand it, we can take it. It is adapted to our understanding as we are here in this world. That's the reasonable milk of the word. And that reasonable milk, that milk of the word of which the apostle speaks in my text, is called sincere milk. Sincere milk of the word. I remember, I believe you will remember, because when I preached on this years ago, I told you the same thing, that the word sincere is an old English word, and that old English word is composed of sina and sera, and sina sera means without wax. Sincere literally means without wax, referring to honey. So honey without wax is the meaning of the word sincere. Here it means, of course, without falsification, without adulteration, and without delusion. The word of God, the preaching of the word, must never be adulterated, must never be falsified. And you, as a church, must be very jealous that that is never done. That's also your calling as a church. You must never allow anyone, even after I'm gone, I hope you understand that, they'd keep it in mind, you must never allow anyone to preach to you anything that is not the pure word of God. When anyone comes on, whatever come on this pulpit, in the future I mean, if anyone would ever come on this pulpit and preach something that is not the pure word of God, you must all respond by shaking your head. Shaking your head, sure.
By all means, do that right away. Right away. The consistent will do that, of course. But you won't do that too. You must say, no, I can't take that. I don't like that. That's not the milk of the word. I have no appetite for that. The word of God must not be received as falsified by you ever. And the word of God must not be preached in an adulterated form. Oh, that is so lamentable in our day, beloved, that from most pulpits that still pretend to be the Church of Jesus Christ, the plain and simple and full truth of the Word of God is adulterated. Must never allow that. Not only that, but you must never allow that the Word of God be diluted. You must not allow anyone to take the cream of the milk. You must not have skim milk. You must have full milk. Let it be homogenized milk. Full milk, that's what you must have. Must not be diluted. Also, that is being done. Oh, maybe more than direct falsification. Oh, so many sharp edges of the gospel are being grounded off, aren't they? Who likes to hear of doctrines like total depravity and corruption and guilt, original guilt and original sin and original pollution? Who likes to hear of election and reprobation especially? Oh, so nice to say to a crowd. It's not nice to say to the church, beloved, because the church will never take that. It's so nice to say to the crowd, oh, the promise is for you all. God sincerely wants to save you all, and so forth, and so forth. That's nice, sounds nice, but it's corruption. And when that gospel is not only corrupted, but also diluted, so that those salient doctrines of the gospel are left out. You know what becomes the result? Oh, then probably you will still live, but you will become very skinny, lean, anemic. If that's the case, we're going to have an anemic church. And the church must not be anemic. The church must not be skinny. The church must be nice and fat, beloved. Nice and fat. The people of God must be healthy. The people of God must be full-blooded, not anemic. And if they are to be full-blooded and not anemic, they must desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire it. Desire it. You say, perhaps, how is that possible? How can I create an appetite for the Word of God? How can I create an appetite? That's impossible. Appetite is something that one cannot create. Beloved, that's not true. Oh, it's true in a way. But I say again, if you have no appetite for that full gospel, not for a skim milk gospel, but for the full gospel, have no desire to get that, then you must ask yourself, what's wrong with me? What's wrong? And asking what is wrong, you must get at the cause and remove it. You must remove it. Of course you must. That's what I'm going to tell you. All the sincere milk of the word. But from that old nature, there are all kinds of influences that choke, that check, that kill the desire. Some of those influences of the old nature, the apostle mentions in the words of my text. He shows you the way in which you must walk in order to have a healthy, healthful appetite. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. You understand that these two admonitions are closely connected, so that the one is subordinate to the other. The main admonition is, desire the sincere milk of the word. But the clause, wherefore laying aside and so forth, is subordinate to that main admonition. So that the text means, if you want appetite, if you really want the desire for the sincere milk of the word, then you must lay aside all these things. All these things. Malice. What's malice? Malice, beloved, is the evil desire to hurt somebody, to hurt the brother, to hurt the brother in the church. That's very evil, but that's the desire. That's malice. Evil. And of course, malice is really the root of all the other evils that are mentioned in my text. The positive contrast to malice and to all the rest of the evils is, of course, fervent brotherly love. As the apostle has admonished in the first chapter, be fervent in brotherly love. Now he mentions the evils that are in contrast to that brotherly love. Malice. And malice, one that has malice in his heart, one that has the desire to do evil to the brother, beloved, is characterized by all the rest of these evils. Guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Guile is deceit, the lie. So that you meet the brother, that's the idea, so that you meet the brother with a lie on your face and in your mouth. So that you say probably to the brother, I love you, brother, I don't mean it. That brother with that lie on his face and in his mouth is also hypocrite. That is, he is not principally hypocrite, but that old nature is hypocritical. Lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy. hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the mask of an angel, or rather the mask of a Christian with the devil behind it. That's hypocrisy. And of course, if there's malice in your heart, you cannot meet the brother. If there's malice in your heart, if the desire in your heart is to do evil to the brother, you cannot meet him. You must put a mask on. You like to hide that evil. You become a hypocrite. And envy, another one. Envy, beloved, envy is really the bad feeling that the brother prospers. The bad feeling that the brother is doing well. Whether spiritually or physically, it doesn't make a difference. That's envy. Pale, green, yellow envy. And evil speakings. Oh, evil speaking. There's one, isn't it? Aren't we all guilty of that, beloved? Aren't we all guilty of that? Evil speaking. Oh, we sing, don't we? We sing. He that slanders not his brother, does no evil to a friend. He enters into God's holy place. And perhaps without even feeling anything of it, we often commit that very sin, evil speaking, slander, backbiting. And beloved, if that is here, if you are characterized by any of these sins, you may better go home. You may better go home. If any of these sins you take to your bosom and nourish it and cherish it, you may better go home and then sit here and listen to the word, because you have no appetite. You have no appetite. If this glass is full, say, of water, that glass will not receive any milk. If your heart, if your sinful nature so fills and crowds your heart that you are characterized by malice and envy and hypocrisy and God and evil speaking, your soul is so full of poison that you will say, I have no appetite. But, beloved, that is much worse than lack of appetite, because if you have no appetite, if you have these sins in your heart, the result will be that under the preaching of the word, you will rebel. That's what you will do. You cannot stand the holy, righteous book of the word. You will rebel against that word. Rebel against my preaching of the word. And you will, if God does not prevent,
And if you do not lay aside these things, instead of growing into salvation, you'll become havoc. The series. And therefore, lay aside all these and many others. This is only, these sins are only connected with the love of the brethren, beloved. But these sins are connected with many others. Lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life and worldly mindedness, greedy covetousness, and all these things are included here. Lay aside all these. Lay aside. You say, can I lay them aside? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can lay them aside. Lay them aside, you say? Huh? Mustn't I wait for God? Doesn't God do everything? Oh, yes, God does everything. But, beloved, remember, I'm not speaking here to natural men. I'm not. When I say lay aside these evils, I'm not speaking to natural men. I'm speaking to regenerated Christians. To no-born babes I'm speaking. Not to everybody. I'm speaking to the church. And therefore, if you are regenerated, and you are, I'm speaking to regenerated men, then in principle, that in the first place, then in principle, you have that appetite for the Word of God. In principle, you have that. Oh, you come to church and like to hear the Word of God. Principle. You come to church and like to eat and drink Christ Jesus. That's principally presented in the Word, in the preaching of the Word, Christ Jesus and the promise of Christ. You like to hear that, don't you? Principally. And therefore, principally, because God has quickened you, because God has given you grace. God has implanted into your heart a new life. Therefore, you are able, you are principally able to fight all these evils, to lay aside malice, envy, hypocrisy, evil speaking, all these things. But there is no law. You say perhaps, well, even that doesn't help me. Even then, God must still do it. That's true, beloved. But remember, He does it. You know what preaching is, don't you? Preaching is not that I speak to you. That's not preaching. If I spoke to you tonight, and that was all, my words would have no effect. You would leave the church saying, perhaps, I don't like that, I don't like all that preaching, or I do like it, and it makes no difference whether you like it or not, but that makes no difference. The question is whether you do it, that's the question. And you will never do it of yourselves, even if you are regenerated. But, beloved, if you hear nothing, if that is preaching, that you hear nothing but my words, and then, of course, it will have no effect. But that is not true. I'm confident that that is not true. God Himself, through Jesus Christ, powerfully speaks to you tonight and says to you, put aside all these
is. Hear it? Do you hear it? If you hear that, that word of God's own authority and that word of God's own power, then I assure you that you will lay aside all these and fight it. Fight it. Oh, fight it constantly. Remember, you cannot just lay aside these things like a coat and say, I put it off and hang it on the hanger and I'll never wear it anymore. Oh, no, no, no. You lay aside these things, all these sins and all these evils, beloved, you lay them aside, oh, through prayer and fighting the good fight of faith, and through the preaching of the word, you lay them aside tonight. And before you wake up in the morning, they are right on top of you. Don't forget. They're right there again. So that you must put off that old man constantly. When you wake up in the morning, and when you go down to sleep at night, when you dream in your sleep, that old nature is right there. Fight. Fight. Day and night. To put off all these. And then, beloved, you will have appetite. Then you will have appetite. Appetite for the sincere milk of the word. And then you will grow. Grow as a church. Grow in grace. Grow in Christ. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. Grow in the assurance of justification. Grow in the assurance of the forgiveness of sin. Grow in the assurance of the love of God to you, spread abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. And grow in the love of you to God. That's growth in salvation. Grow in the good fight of faith. In sanctification. In walking in a new life. In holiness. Growing in hope. And the hope of everlasting life and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's growth in grace. And then, oh, that old man will still be there. That old nature does not die, but the heart will be strengthened by grace. By the food of the word, and that regenerated heart will more and more have the victory until the old man shall be left in the grave and we shall be only no man in Christ Jesus our Lord. That will be glory forever. Amen.